Welcome back to Deep Thoughts. Today we are going to cover something that is talked about routinely here and there, but, you know, I don't know if anyone's done a deep dive on it. At least not like we're going to do, which is an alien invasion hoax. Now, there's going to be a lot of you who are not initiated into this subject, so let me just bring you up to date. It was rumored by a woman named Bonnie Holmes, who was the secretary slash assistant to Wernher von Braun, who was the gentleman who led the founding of NASA. He's the one that designed the Saturn V rockets and every rocket up to that point. He's the one that designed the V1 and V2 rockets. He is a Nazi by any other description. But he is celebrated as our big moon mission guy, even though they fired him the second that the moon mission's over in 72. He died in the late 70s. Bonnie Holmes says that Wernher von Braun warned her that they had already laid out the plans to create an alien invasion hoax in order to cause mass panic around the entire globe and to then use the New World Order, you know, which is basically just a bunch of bankers that want to control everyone to make sure that they get to remain the haves and we're always relegated to being a have-not. Which the have-not is not money and possessions. It's freedom. They have freedom and you don't. That's really what it is. You could add money and possessions to that and all that other stuff later. But that's really what the entire New World Order is all about. Top of the pyramid has freedom. Bottom of the pyramid doesn't. And the bottom of the pyramid is convinced that the top of the pyramid actually owns the receipt to their sovereignty and liberty, right? Then in December 4th, 1985, President Reagan makes a very interesting speech. So it says, sort of within the first year of his second term, and there's a documentary about this on History Channel, which is sort of hokey, if you ask me, where these speechwriters were like, we told him not to say it, he said he wanted to say it, we told him not to say it, and then he said it. And what Ronald Reagan said to the world on national television was that, wouldn't it be interesting if we had a centralized alien threat? Isn't this weird? Threat. I mean, like, come on. If an aliens can get here, can't they blow up the world? Can't they kill everyone off? There is no alien threat, and then we all get to live or do what we want, right? But he's up there, and he's saying, you know, would it be cool that if we could use this to create a new world order? Just shy of saying NWO, right? And of course, now since he's dead, they revise history, and then the speechwriters are all saying that he didn't, he just pulled that out of his ass. If you've ever seen presidential speeches written, it's something like this. There's usually two people looking at monitors in a room together. There's half a dozen telephones around them. They're editing a speech, and the phone keeps ringing. And it's probably more automated today with sharing software. But someone on the phone, a mystery person from the banking cartel, tells them, don't say that, say this, don't say that, say this. And they're like, yes, sir, yes, sir. So everyone who's ever been given credit for writing speeches, let's say after 1970, at least, they're just laying down the foundation of what needs to be said, and someone else is determining every single buzzword, keyword that goes out. A shadow government tells our presidents what to say. Not a big surprise, given that President Obama can't talk to sixth graders without a teleprompter, right? But let's focus on this concept of an alien invasion, because I think this is going to get very interesting, because we have a lot of things on deck right now which look as if they're performing psyops potentially to fuel this idea. But it looks like they might have conducted actual scientific experiments to also give the illusion that this is happening. Now, let's just pull back for 1 second and say, okay, so what does alien invasion mean, really? And, you know, most of you are going to go, well, of course we know what it means. No, no, no. What's it mean to you? And what do you think it means to me? What do you think it means to a Christian? What do you think it means to a Muslim? What do you think it means to a Jew? What do you think it means to a scientific atheist UFOologist? What do you think it means to an Aborigine? What do you think it means to someone in the rainforest of South America who's never really done much connecting with major society, and they see things flying in the sky constantly. They don't know what the hell a helicopter is or a jet is. That, you know, they don't know what big large machine sounds are when they're clearing, you know, rainforest out. We have to understand that to create a global illusion, you're going to have to create something so generic and so powerful and so relative to individual religions. I mean, imagine a Hindu versus a Buddhist versus a Christian versus a Jew versus a Muslim. Those are just the low-hanging fruits. But everyone has to panic for this thing to work. So we're going to tie a bunch of stuff together here that I don't think I have ever seen pulled together worth a damn. Right? And it's not that anyone's trying. No one's failed. I just haven't seen anyone really try it. Now let's talk about some things that I think have scientifically potentially occurred. Well, we know we've seen some things. And then we'll get back into the probably the generic way to pull this off. There have been a lot of meteorites coming in out of the sky. Tons of them. You know, a couple of years ago, there was the one in Russia, which blew up over a major city and blew out a bunch of windows, and it was unbelievably huge. The Russian government came out and said it was the CIA conducting an experiment over their people, and that they actually used another secret weapon to blow it up, and that the reason why it exploded over that apartment complex, which was estimated like a megaton, like an atom bomb, without the radiation, because it would have been just a natural concussion, that the whole thing is just a weapon against a weapon thing, and everyone else gets to see it. But now, okay, maybe that's true. I don't know why the Russian government would come out and accuse the CIA. You know, in the end, it was, you know, it was supposedly a rock that eventually, you know, the last big piece essentially fell in some lake that was frozen over, because it was wintertime in Russia, right? Could have been a threat, could have been shot over the bow, because they're not behaving right compared to serve the World Banks. Putin's telling them all to go screw themselves. Who knows, right? But we have seen a tremendous amount of really big meteorites. Oddly, with no warning. You know, there's this trend now to keep panic in the hearts of everyone. So right now there's, you know, a bunch of meteorites that are going to come by, and they're going to loop by, and, you know, comets, and, you know, why anybody just, if one's coming, there's nothing we can really do about it, right? This isn't going to be an episode of Armageddon. But keep that in the back of your head. Maybe there's technology, according to Russia, maybe there's technology that can bring something down out of the sky that crumbles up just like a meteorite and looks like something celestial. But maybe that can come in different forms. Now I'm going to jump off the bandwagon here for a split second to mention something a little more esoteric, if not extremely esoteric, for some of you. Now, there is a guy who I mention every once in a while on the show. His name's Bob Lazar. A bunch of you people know who he is. He's a guy that claimed to work for Area 51 and S4. He claims to be a prodigy physicist who, oddly, when he gets interviewed in public, never says anything remarkable. You know, he can't just use basic science to make everybody freak out, you know, with how smart he is or prove himself. He does happen to supposedly pass a lot of lie detector tests, but we know that those can be forged. But anyway, he ends up getting in trouble because he's working at S4 and he's reverse engineering antimatter engines, supposedly, inside UFOs, of which there are 9, and all of them have an impact on the outside except for one. He's working on the most pristine one. He has a friendship with a guy named John Lear. For those of you who don't know, there's something called Learjet, and they make, you know, before G5s, they were the talk of the town in the 70s. But John Lear, who's definitely in his late 60s, early 70s at this point, is friends with Bob Lazar. They go out on a actual peak mountain within New Mexico, which isn't that high. And they're staring down on Area 51 during a night when a bunch of test vehicles are being flown or whatever. Of course, Bob claims they're UFOs, and there's definitely supposedly lights in the sky. The Secret Service or whatever protects that place, captures them. Bob loses his job. John gets spanked on the hand because John's rich and famous. It's all just kind of like, shut up, and your buddy's fired. Bob Lazar pops out. That's when most of us learn about him. And he spends, what, I think 15, 20 years outside of this. And supposedly now, according to John Lear, he is back inside Area 51 / S4. Or Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, or wherever they keep all this alien stuff. All right. So why mention this weird side thing? For one reason. Bob Lazar probably has, I think, one of the most credible explanations / claims and experiences of seeing gray aliens. Now, you're going to hear a million abduction stories from Whitley Strieber and a bunch of people, and hey, maybe they're telling the truth. I don't know. Again, I'm on record as saying I had one tell me what was in a Christmas present once, but I may have just telepathically gotten that from my girlfriend and then dreamed the story up. But it was an incredibly intelligent dream. But anyway, Bob came to the conclusion. He was marched down a hallway once. Let's put it this way. He's marched down the hallway, and then he was told to look in a window inside of a door. You know, it was like those security doors. And he said he looked inside the window, and he had a guy in a lab coat standing next to a gray, which is like 3.5-4 feet tall. And he said that he did not get the distinct impression this thing was alive, that it was more like a sort of mannequin creation because it didn't move. Doesn't mean anything, but he just got this weird feeling. Put that in your satchel of things that maybe we have created that would be used to create an invasion illusion. All right. Now, the other one is anti-gravity. Anti-gravity, if viewed by most of us, would be mind-blowing to see. Not mind-blowing that it's happening, not mind-blowing in concept, but mind-blowing that it's actually occurring in front of you, right? There are several vehicles that have been viewed and photographed around the world that are probably military vehicles, flying triangles, even saucers or what have you, that merely would need anti-gravity in order to be up there. And then once you have anti-gravity, you would be able to levitate anything in the sky as long as your power source is good enough, right? And there are all kinds of individuals who have supposedly defected online. I've got a friend of mine who's a very brilliant man who supposedly has had a pretty good conversation with a guy within the military who essentially coughed it all up and said, yeah, you know, we're not using this technique anymore. We're using this other technique. And anti-gravity has definitely been something we've had for 30, 40 years. And again, if you study anti-gravity research up to about 65, most professors had it was like every major professor in a major university had their technique of creating anti-gravity. And it was just somehow washed away, just like in the late 80s, early 90s, when superconductors were getting close to getting to sort of a zero-point energy fusion system. It was like one country said they had it, then every other country said, well, we have it too. We've always had it. We're not supposed to talk about it. And then it just gets wiped away. I think it was Scientific American magazine or something actually wrote that a shadow faction in black suits came in and retested the theory, and they said that they didn't achieve it. And there's the famous journalist out of MIT who said he watched it happen, and then this group came in and said that they didn't happen, you know. So anyway, anti-gravity most likely has been conquered in several different fashions and only been improved over time. Right, but we don't actually have visual proof except for perhaps photographs of 600-foot sided, you know, flying triangles. But now, let's just say that you and I have been hired to figure out how to pull off this illusion. And we throw everything on the table. We have a cork board with a bunch of cards on it. And we're putting up there every single faction, every single culture that needs to be convinced this is occurring. We also then start adding some metrics to it to decide, even if they do believe that an alien invasion is occurring, how much are they going to react based on their culture? Then we start writing down, okay, during an alien invasion, based on a particular culture, where do we think that they will believe that these individuals are coming from? Right? You might have a Christian believing it's an angel coming down from heaven. But you have a lot of religions that don't believe in anything celestial. Right? They do not believe there's anything up there. Now, I'm sure in their personal lives, they might believe in aliens or something, but within their religion, they don't. Okay. And then there's just a gigantic community in the world that is not religious at all. And so they're going to believe in aliens of some sort. So this hoax is going to have to be one-size-fits-all hoax if it's ever going to happen and if it's ever going to work. And so specifics are going to be sort of intangible, meaning we are not going to be able to put something in the sky with our anti-gravity system and make it look like an angel to a Christian and make it look like something else to someone who's not Christian, right? And it depends on, we're going to get to all this stuff, depends on what our goal is. Are we here to literally terrify the shit out of the world with death? Or are we here to maybe terrify them out of curiosity? Or are we trying to make everyone feel good and say, oh my gosh, they're here. The alien promise is here. We don't have to worry about anything anymore. Aliens are going to take care of it, right? I think one of the biggest mysteries is going, or biggest surprises for mankind, is that your landlord's still going to ask for rent. Your local corporation is still going to ask to get paid for the food that you buy, right? That's going to be the big shocker. But now let's take a look at a little thing going on the internet called Flat Earth. There's this bizarre surge of Flat Earth theory. And what, you know, if you're new to this channel and you've never heard of Flat Earth, it's not like the square where all the oceans fall off the side. It's a disc, and we live in the center of the disc, and the outer disc is the Antarctica. You know, the scientific community has not refuted a bunch of things that we observe that point to it being flat and non-spinning, so not a globe. We don't exactly know what shape it is if it's flat, but there's a lot of weird stuff out there. Maybe it's a bunch of psyop stuff. Maybe it's all fake. You know, or maybe the evidence that we think is confirmed is not confirmed. The evidence is visual, is fake, some illusion, you know. But what's the byproduct of changing your view of where we come from? I mean, where we are, put that way, right? So if you believe you're a human on a big 8,000 mile wide ball, 24,000 miles around, orbiting in a solar system, orbiting in a galaxy, flying somewhere in the universe, right? Then it's, you're infinitely small on an infinitely small, infinitely small dot on an infinitely small dot. I mean, you're just infinitely small. You're so insignificant, it doesn't matter. And so why would an alien race ever come to Earth? I mean, even if they could, why would they? Yeah, there's no resources on Earth that they would need, because there's a whole freaking universe. If you can travel anywhere in the universe, why would you come here and deal with a faction of people that you got to kill or integrate with or talk to? If you want gold, I'm sure there are planets out there that are made of nothing but gold. If there's, you know, anything you want, unobtainium, anything, oxygen. If heliocentric ball Earth is real, then there are infinite planets out there made of exactly what any raw resource of that an alien race would need. They don't need us at all. There's infinite animals they could eat, right? I can't imagine anything that they would need from us, unless maybe they're demons, which, again, we don't know where the script's going if they're doing this, right? But the interesting thing about Flat Earth, if you haven't been into it, is that it suggests a firmament. And if you've ever seen a rainbow, take a 180-degree turn, and you know anything about light reflection, refraction off of concave surfaces, then you might look at a rainbow a completely different way. Who knows? But the idea is, we might be in a petri dish, and we might have captors. People that watch us. And maybe it's not bad. It's just they're conducting an experiment, right? But if you believe that, and if you're thinking about that, and this illusion in the sky happens, which is where it's going to occur, right? They're going to want you to map it to something. If you're not mapping it to Jesus Christ, you need to map it to gray aliens or something else, reptilian aliens, right? Because this is going to be an exercise of the shepherd, shepherding us into these global agendas. They're also going to probably, I would imagine, run it like this. You know, and again, half the world's in dark, half the world's in light, no matter what we're on. So how do you pull off an alien hoax with half the world asleep and half the world awake? you're going to have to figure out the best time of day and the largest group of people and to freak everybody out. And it's probably going to be, I'm going to suggest, Europe and America. And that's the only two groups they're going to really try to control. Because Russia is probably going to come out and say, guys, you're being duped by your government. You're being duped by the shadow government. They're not going to worry about the Arabs too much. They want the most, you know, privileged people on earth, quote unquote, first world people, to be utterly freaked out. And believe me, Russia is a first world country with a lot of people that believe a lot of spiritual things. So they're going to be right there. You know, they will fall for it even if Putin comes out and says this is exactly the systems that they do, how they launch it, how they make it happen. There's going to be people that don't believe him. But you have sort of a daytime occurrence where either it's going to be morning rising for America and dusk setting on Europe, and they're going to start putting these things in the sky. And then darkness is going to come over Europe and freak everybody out because now it's nighttime and you can't see where the boogeymen are. Now, let's talk about some more technology. How many of you have heard about these moaning, groaning sounds coming out of the sky in various places in the world? Now, a kid in Russia actually cracked this, and he found out that it was a movie sound that was actually being overlaid on top of some footage in sort of like an apartment complex in Russia. He matched up the soundtracks, and he just kept flipping the playhead back and forth, and it was identical. So the very first moaning, groaning sound stuff in the sky was actually a movie soundtrack for this weird alien movie, which I name escapes me. It was like a little B movie. But now, most people don't know about that. Most people don't. Well, all the old people in the world don't realize that YouTube exists, and they don't realize that you can actually go up and search on anything and it's there. How to do anything, right? But imagine we need an auditorial freakout technology. Maybe it's this technology, which is probably HARP-based, where they have this array of antennas that shoots a gigantic amount of electricity slash frequency slash sound off the ionosphere in a way that it splatters all over Europe. It splatters all over the United States. And there's one, the oldest HARP is in Alaska. It ain't shit. They've got HARPs all over the world. Dozens of them. Huge ones, right? And so they can strategically dump the sound on someone. Imagine it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and you're in Paris and all of a sudden the sky starts moaning. And it's moaning sort of an alarming noise, right? We got to make it sound alarming. And then formations of lights come out of the sky and start dancing around. And then to freak you out, maybe there's some explosions and they blame it on those lights, right? But then again, very quickly, it sets. It's dark. You got live news feeds going crazy. You have CNN and Fox making $1 million a second broadcasting this stuff live and pushing advertising on people as if anybody cares how they fucking clean their kitchen in the middle of this thing, right? But they'll do it. They'll do it. And every single major station in Europe will be profiting from this situation. It'll be full trauma programming. Trust me. 9/11 will pale in comparison to this stunt. And then there'll be people like you and I who are going to be DVRing everything, recording everything, looking for every single flaw, every single inconsistency, trying to find newscasters that are intelligence agents slipping up on their scripts, reporting scripts too soon, all this other kind of stuff, right? But I am getting ahead of myself. But then, you know, this illusion comes over to the United States, and we're getting freaked out. But now, what would they show us? With all these different cultures, what would they show us to make us believe? To unify us into one state of fear? Well, remember what we talked about when we talked about cell phone towers. Cell phone towers operate on a frequency that can dial itself into the human mind. Scientists have said many, many times that cell phone towers have the ability to broadcast obtuse emotions into the reach of the antenna. So if you have good cell phone reception where you are at your house, then you could potentially be bombarded with an emotion. It doesn't matter if you have AT&T and it's bad. Your buddy walks up next to you with Verizon and it's four or five bars. That just means that tower is going to get you, not the one you get your carrier service from, right? So on top of this whole thing, a sound comes out of the sky. The cell phone towers start broadcasting this fear emotion, right? Or maybe just a much more beautiful emotion of complicity, of complicitness, right? Just the docile frequency of, oh my God, angels from heaven have arrived. And if you're prone to believe in UFOs and grays, well, then you're thinking it's the alien promise. Here comes, you know, to serve man. It's coming, right? But now, what do you see? Well, let's think about it. What have we seen? What have we seen from people that claim that they've taken photographs of UFOs? Well, you get the very eccentric photographs, which are the flying triangles, usually at night. And there's four white light or three white lights on each end of this thing. And again, they claim it's like 600 foot on one side. For me, those photographs never look that big, but whatever. There are family members that have been burned by vehicles being chased by helicopters. In that scenario, for me, it just means that the government has created an extremely toxic propulsion system, and they can't fly it with getting any sort of approval from the people. So they fly it in the middle of the night, and whoever's underneath it gets exposed to massive radiation. It's being tracked by helicopters because if it crashes, they're going to need to cordon off the the region. So for me, none of these have been UFOs ever. Okay. We have a lot of plasma ball energy that comes out of the surface of the Earth and spins, and it's chrome, and then it hits various electrical pockets in the atmosphere, and it goes from one place to another very quickly, can turn on a dime, and those are misconstrued as alien spacecraft because they look like flying discs, you know? Plasma energy at night looks like lightning bolts, but during the day it can take on a 100% reflective surface because every photon that tries to enter a plasma ball will reflect off. It's ejected. It's not invited inside the sphere of the plasma that's spinning at probably well in excess of the speed of light. So we see these pin lights all the time in the sky. You know, the flying hubcap and thing, well, why is there only a couple of shots of that stuff, right? There's never any real long-term footage of what looks like a flying saucer out of a 1950s B-movie. The stuff that we see prolonged is always just lights in the sky flying in formations, right? There'll be three kind of wandering around, and then they get in a nice line, and they go, and they take off. Hey, man, maybe those are aliens. I don't know. Was it Bill Cooper said he saw a bunch of them come in and out of the ocean, just like Abyss? Maybe, right? But now think about it. If you're a Christian, and this kind of thing's going on, you might be told that the sound you're hearing from the sky are the horns of Gabriel, or the horn of Gabriel. The angels have cracked open the firmament, and they are coming to bring the second coming. It'll be really confusing when Jesus doesn't end up showing up as a result of this, but then you might again believe the passage in the Bible which says, and they're going to put people on coast to coast on television, op-ed pieces, and they're going to be saying, well, this is the 1,000 years of bliss before Christ's return. He's giving us this great thing. Just join the New World Order and all will be well. Just like Reagan said. But now, what would a Christian expect to see? I'll tell you, when I was a really devout Christian and I thought about the second coming, especially when Prince is singing the lyrics to 1999, you think you're going to see angels with wings. No matter how that's actually accomplished, you think that you're going to see these agents of God coming down and glowing white light or what have you, and maybe even 15 feet tall and just, you know, our saviors, right? The other one is that it's going to be a big question on the news as to what it is that was seen all over the world, just like the day the Earth stood still, right? The one alien ship that comes in and flies over every major city in the world and lands in Washington, D.C., because Americans are better than everyone else. So there's going to be this, you know, for all of the mouth breathers who believe in mass media, there's going to be this, well, we've put the question to the Pentagon to find out what this is. The White House is going to be talking in 2 hours, you know, and all the other countries are going to be, you know, getting together under the UN. And there's going to be this big announcement as to whether or not what we saw was an alien or some phenomenon or what it was, right? And then it's going to be an avalanche, most likely, of yes, aliens exist, they've always existed, and by the way, the U.S. government has had coveted friendships with these aliens, and we got it all planned out. We didn't know they were going to come, or we did know they were going to come. Then you're going to have this sort of Cold War about who can jerk off an alien the most, right? And get the privilege, right? You're going to have Mexico and Russia and China and every country in the EU all chiming in with their UFO files. None of which have to be actually true. It's a giant psyop on your brain. Now, my litmus test for you is that if you believed that your government has aliens or alien spaceship or alien technology that is equivalent to alien spaceships, then there would be 100% proof that we landed on the moon. 100%. Because they would fly back up there and put everything where it's supposed to be. They would terraform the moon to match the pictures. Because there's no way it can do it otherwise, right? But it hasn't happened, right? Everything's so hoaxy. We can't get a picture of Earth from space that's consistent with any other picture of Earth from space. We can't fly over. We don't have a single video of anyone flying over the South Pole, for God's sakes. That should tell you a few things. Now, that information could be constrained and you know, sanctioned such that this flat Earth theory can make its way into people's minds, such that when this stuff happens, you do think it's the dome owners if you believe in flat Earth. But it doesn't matter what you believe. My point is this. If we go for specifics in our plan, we're never going to be able to deliver. Right? Because a lot of people don't believe in angels at all. Native Americans don't believe in that. They believe stars are the fallen spirits of those, the spirits of those who have died and they can become a star. Right? But most of the religions on Earth don't believe in winged angels. They don't. So you wouldn't want to commit to that appearance in the sky. But we have something called metaphor. Metaphor, well, it's a symbol of what you believe. It isn't exactly what you believe. Because no one's really met God, necessarily. And no one's ever really met an angel. I mean, hey, how you doing, right? They could take whatever form they wanted to take in the biblical, symbolic, metaphorical way. And so even though all you see are dots in the sky, you will make that... Well, I shouldn't accuse you, but some people will make that their God. And if you imagine this, imagine that they could actually control what formations those things fly in the sky. And over America, it flies in a big giant crucifix. Oh, man. What do you do if you're Jewish? Over all the world, they create the religious symbol in the sky that is the symbol for those people that mostly, predominantly live in those areas. And so everyone's like, oh my gosh, these aliens are acknowledging all of our religions. They must all be true. We're in such a unification stage now. Let's join the New World Order. Let's get rid of cash and freedom. I hope this is starting to sink in here. There's definitely going to be phases of this invasion hoax. I can think of three distinct ones that would need to occur. Now, I'm going to borrow from David Icke's incredible summation, which is problem, reaction, solution. In stage one, you have a problem. The world is being invaded by unidentified flying objects. Maybe in some scenarios, if this gray alien, robot, genetically modified human, whatever the hell this thing is, if they could get these things to behave in a certain way, like the aliens at the end of Close Encounters of the Third Kind, all you have to do is really kind of act like children and move around. You're going to film in a particular area anyway. It's going to be controlled, right? They're not going to drop at the end of your circle and say, hey, what's up? You got a beer? So I'm going to tell you, unless aliens really exist and they really have a relationship with these people, this is all going to be fake and it's going to be very, very controlled. But there's going to be this point of utter and complete panic. Take every single thing that you've seen the last 20 years online, from sounds coming from the sky to cell phone towers bursting your emotions to augment how you're going to feel, to meteorites flying, willy-nilly all over the world, exploding or doing whatever it's going to do, to then, as soon as night sets, a bunch of dots come out of the sky, start flying in formations. On the off chance, again, they could orchestrate it like an attack. But I sort of think that creates a lot of evidence, right? If it's in the sky, they can make up whatever they want to make up about things that are just flying in the sky. But if, you know, a major city is somehow experiencing explosions, weaponry, it needs to be a weapon that is absolutely positively alien. And we all know about, you know, directed energy weapons that can melt any steel on planet Earth. I've got friends that have built those in their backyards, right? If you resonate a metal at its native frequency, it will simply dissolve. The atomic bonds simply disappear. So most of us know what the government has been working on covertly. So that's the fear phase, the unknown. We're all freaked out. Where do you go to get your reality at that point? Well, it's going to be online. The internet's going to be absolutely strained. You know, they might even turn it off and say that it just got overwhelmed by traffic, but your TV's going to work just fine so you can get all the programming from mass media. There's going to be Pentagon hearings 24/7 for months, White House briefings. It's going to go on. And it's going to be in every single major country on the planet Earth. We're probably going to stop hearing about primitive countries. And it's going to be because they do not have the reaction that is going to feed this whole game, right? We're going to be reacting as first world country people because we've got all this fiction from movies and Discovery Channel things, right? Sci-fi channel, UFO shows, right? But then there's going to be a phase, potentially, where, you know, the reaction is going to be defined to us, which is, what do we do as a result of these things occurring? And again, the first night is a test run to see how well things were accepted by the public. Just like these fake massacres, they try to see what mistakes they made. They do postmortems. They try to refine the algorithm. And so I'm sure, like a good script, Act 2 is going to be more intense than Act 1. And as for many, however many acts, they want to actually repeat, right? But they're going to continually try to up the payoff to create a compression in the mind for reaction. But there has to be, like Ronald Reagan said, most likely, a threat. Because if it's fake, well, we're not going to have aliens walking around Earth. In no way are we going to see these things live unless, again, they can create these little gray robots, which may be biological and modified human beings. But they're not going to stick around because that's a liability. Someone will figure it out. Someone will watch them eat a burger or something. You know, it'll be some weird thing. Or they'll say, oh, it photosynthesizes its skin, which is supposedly how the grays live. But they always wear silver suits, you know, so they cover up all of their chlorophyll. But I'm willing to believe that the scenario is going to be a visitation theme. They're coming down. They're freaking us out. It's like first contact. For those of you who are devout Star Trek followers, you are going to have a really hard time believing the hype. Or you might be a super duper geeky nerd who gets off on the fact that everything that's going on in reality matches an episode of Star Trek, and you're sort of like the little kid in the Twilight Zone where the neighborhood was being toyed with by two aliens, or a two-headed alien or whatever. And the little boy comes out and says, this is just like the comic books that I read, and this is what's happening, and da-da-da-da. So you're the nerd feeding the fiction with more fiction, not realizing that this whole thing's been ripped off out of scripts from television shows. For movies, everything's sci-fi, right? But the threat is going to be left behind in order to provide the pretense of a solution. The threat is there to create movement. It's just like herding sheep, right? The dog barks. That's going to be the second phase of this thing. And I'm willing to bet it's not going to be like the Twilight Zone to serve man, where the alien was actually filmed walking in the room and talking on behalf of his friends telepathically so we can hear it from the alien's mouth. But maybe they'll try to pull that off. Who knows, right? It'll be just like a SpaceX fake mission accomplished thing where they do it out of sight, out of mind, right? It'll be like speaking in this room at the UN where no one else was invited, right? Because the aliens asked to just have a few of our leaders there, you know, just to make sure that no one else could verify it, right? But maybe how they would play the card of the aliens' attitude towards us. Would it be a Arthur C. Clarke sort of aliens rescuing humanity theme? Would it be a, what is it? Any scenario where the aliens are saying they're going to come back and take us over? You know? Is it going to be an alien demand? Again, they get the whole universe to pick from, and they're going to give us this whole thing. Maybe they go with the flat Earth thing and say, you're in a Petri dish, and you need to do this and that because the experiment's going to phase two, you know, which, again, sociologically speaking, doesn't make any sense because an observed population acts different, and therefore your experiment is tainted, right? So coming down and proving yourself to the Petri dish is going to contaminate the experiment. But then the solution. The only reason to do this hoax at all right, it's a guarantee. It's to do what President Reagan said on December 4th, 1985, talking about the unification of man under the guise of a threat from an alien invader. Now, for those of you who still can't believe it, now I want you to, or just going to throw this reminding footnote in there. If an alien can get to us, they most likely have technology that could destroy us. So they may come up with a very fancy, elaborate set of requirements or demands from these aliens that I can't conceive of right now. But in the end, it will be the utter unification of mankind, top to bottom. There may even be some wonderful, peaceful things that on paper look really, really good. A lot of Robin Hood stuff, right? Take from the rich, give to the poor. The ultimate experiment, socialism, right? But I guarantee you, obviously I guarantee you this thing's a hoax. The minute I can get inside of a spaceship and go to their home world and actually see it is the moment I think that this was a real planned invasion or first contact. I shouldn't always spin it badly. But there will be, metaphorically speaking, a firmament dome over the rest of humanity, over most of humanity, right? And the people that are currently the wealthy bankers, which are made of monarchs and made of normal people, or I shouldn't say normal people, non-monarchs, they will be in an Elysium chamber above the firmament that you and I live in, calling the shots, right? But what would they do to convince us that was real? Because telling us it's real, well, you're going to get a really split audience on that one. Even if the majority of the people, being only 51%, believe that the alien invasion really occurred, it's going to be one of these things of like, well, if you watch the Twilight Zone to serve man, they were actually here to make us plump and ripe to eat. It was a literal translation of that objective. But what did they do? They fixed all of our crops. They fixed starvation. They made man want for nothing. Man was at a point very quickly within the first few months of this thing in the Twilight Zone of needing for nothing. All they wanted us to do was eat. And then they invited us to visit their homeworld. When we had reached a supple size, right? They didn't really get that fully dramatized out, but they alluded to it in the script. We know that the corporations of the world, the oil companies, military, they all have inventions that would completely solve every single problem. They know how they create cancer in us. They know how to travel the world without using any type of fuel that's based on anything the world creates. They know how to harvest electricity out of the atmosphere for free. They know how to amplify it for free. I mean, it's unbelievable. So I would expect a bunch of technology to be used as a leverage mechanism to make the story stick if it's a peaceful thing. You know, if it's an invasion of any negative tone, then, you know, I don't know how you would pull that off besides, you know, having to use a weapon that man has never conceived of. You can't just drop an atom bomb or a hydrogen bomb or use a directed energy weapon to melt buildings and stuff. You can't just do that. Everybody knows that stuff exists. And if the neighborhood doesn't know, then people like me will walk up and down the street until everybody does know. And there's enough of us out there within a month, the world would know that was a weapon we already had. So if they're going to weaponize the whole invasion to create this threat arc that we must behave and yada, 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 or we must unite and try to fight these guys, which is absurd, considering we can't travel the stars, and they just did. The technology is the way to make it stick. You know, the rumors going around are the photographic proof that all of a sudden deserts are full of crops, that we don't have to use oil anymore or any form of energy. Dams can be broken, can be destroyed, and because we don't need them anymore, right? The world goes back to a balanced state of non-intervention. All right. You know, fusion reactors exist just like in Back to the Future, where you can put anything in and it turns into whatever you want because energy is infinite. That's where we should be today. But they hold us back because they're monetizing old energy systems. And of course, they don't want us to use that energy and those mechanisms to defeat them, which is why it's all held up, right? I got very close with a buddy of mine who has a show in the UK where he had done a lot of the research on batteries that had been developed that utterly kill every battery that we have today. I mean, we're talking about batteries that last, you know, 10 years on one charge sort of thing, right? I'm being a little facetious, but really intense batteries. And they're all owned by the oil companies, and the companies get purchased and mothballed so that we don't find them. Joe, you have this really scary thing. You have all these claims from your government and all the space programs all chiming in, controlling the narrative. Then we have technology that swoops down. Within a year or so, we start seeing some major benefits to everything. Maybe they modify the GMO to be better, right? Wait for that one. But now, there's kind of a funny idea. I thought, you know, depopulation is a major goal of the world of the ruling class because they're afraid of the inability of controlling a massive population. I'm sure that there are a lot of individuals involved in depopulation and population control simply because they do have legitimate fears of the exponential curve of population growth getting out of control within 100 years, having, you know, 100 billion people on this planet. I remember when the world hit 1 billion, and in the next 5 years, it's going to hit 8. And that 8's going to hit 16 really fast, and then just keep double to the point it's almost like every single day we're just watching the world, you know, get covered with babies, you know. But imagine a technique that is sort of like Close Encounters theme, sort of like the To Serve Man theme. Let's say they have anti-gravity ships. Big ones. Big, giant ships with sort of nice seats in them even. And they say, how would you like to visit a planet really far away? You can't come back. You cannot come back because it's going to take too long or whatever. And they just start putting us in sort of the equivalent of Nazi trains. But they're UFO-looking objects. They're big cargo ships that can float. And hell, some people just want to be in an anti-gravity vehicle just to be in an anti-gravity vehicle. They don't even care. Some folks have been dying their whole lives to escape their the world because they don't like the way it turned out. Hell yeah, let me just guess. I'd love to see a foreign city. And maybe they even show you photographs of where you're going. And you get in, and all it does is it kills you. Humanely, maybe it just gasses you, removes the oxygen. Maybe it just gasses you and you die, whatever. Freezes you to death. Just keep dumping bodies in some big hole somewhere. Remember, the whole planet, when it was 1 billion people, they used to tell us this in physics class, you could fit the entire world in a 1 mile box. So now we have 8 times that amount of folks. And so now you can fit the entire planet in an 8 mile box. You can't see an 8 mile object from space unless you're really close, right? So we're not really that overpopulated. But to thin out the herd would be pretty darn easy, wouldn't it? Now again, who knows how they would do such a thing? That's sort of a crazy idea, of course, right? But now what are the, let's just talk about it from a government development standpoint. How many people would have to be involved? How many different research centers would have to be involved to really create the technology to pull this off? Well, the nice thing about UFO sightings for them is that you know in your own lifetime the most amazingly recorded, most amazing recorded things in history have just been a few lights in the sky. 24 lights in the sky. If they could come up with an infinite power source, roughly speaking, and they could come up with anti-gravity as a result of that infinite power source, and they could build a ship with sort of a Faraday fabric on the outside, then you could electrify the entire exterior of your ship to be a gigantic flying light bulb. And you don't have to have people in it. It could all be remote controlled. Although with a lot of electricity on the outside, getting an RF frequency inside might be rather difficult. At some point, there has to be a guidance system in there, right? But we'll leave that up to the geniuses that create frauds. Could be that the bottom is not being electrified, so the bottom has a nice receiver that can get information at the top or something like that. Something out of sight, out of mind. But allows them to coordinate these sorts of things. You have someone playing a recording against the ionosphere, which makes everyone feel like Gabriel's playing a horn. You have a cell phone tower network that's already installed. They can merely make us think whatever they want us to believe. I mean, would you imagine being able to... I'll give you an analogy. So you go to a scary movie with a friend, and your friend is either so left brain they can't get into scary movies, or for whatever reason they've seen them all, or they've had a weird life, and you're jumping out of your seat, but your friend's barely moving. Now imagine that the movie studio could use a technology in the room to broadcast at your body and at your mind to make you feel exactly what they want you to feel at the exact moment that the frame hits the silver screen. How amazingly powerful would that be? You know, even with your TV. It shoots this ray out for 5 feet. So put your sofa within 5 feet of your TV and you're going to feel this extra augmentation. Oh, you can turn the feature off, but it's there, right? But here they are putting this fictitious thing in the sky. It's really there, but it's not what you think. It's not what they're saying it is, but you're feeling it is. There's not much in the sky. There's not much there. Sound and a few lights. The lights are metaphorical, so you can think of them as angels, right? Maybe they can orchestrate them coming out of the ocean to really seal up a lot of the illusion. I'm sure you would get a tremendous amount of bad CG over the internet and over the television. As witnessed by fake crisis actor, blah, blah, blah. So just like, you know, when we tell people that the moon missions were faked, you have 99.9% of people involved with the moon mission believing it was real. Because for all the sensory input that they took in, all the responsibilities and engagement that they were involved in, they felt like they were involved. And how dare you tell them they didn't do that? Because that is their major milestone in life. And you don't really need to tell them. Let them go to sleep. Let them die thinking that they really participate in this. Because guess what happens right after you die? You find out the truth. Oh boy. So I don't think there would need to be a lot of coordination within large agencies to pull this thing off, besides the press that already does this, right? I mean, you realize that we've got people in every major news institution around the world that participated in 9/11. You know, they read the scripts too soon and got their radio broadcast cut off. And maybe there's a way to double blind it such that they don't know what they're doing. You know, again, there's no journalists, there's only reporters in the world, so as long as you're willing to take an earpiece and repeat it into a camera or read whatever shows up on the teleprompter, you might be Anderson Cooper, not know what you're doing, and you feel like you're the most privileged human being on earth because you are getting the information straight from some crazy AP Reuters feed. You believe it. There's no reason why you shouldn't. Now, my personal belief is that this sort of thing, if it were to occur, would not be anytime soon. Unless they're really way ahead. And, you know, there's a lot of people that love to say, oh, well, you know, the military's 20 years ahead. Yeah, you know, maybe, but what have we done for computers in 20 years? Very little. You know, we really have. All we've done is we've made processors exponentially bigger and faster, but it's the same exact principles, just simply multiplied. You know, to give you an analogy of what's happened in computers, right? Video cards is probably where the most innovation has taken place, but that's just a different application of the same old technology, right? But if you took a garden hose and you said, this is the processor in 1981, it's one hose firing water out, which was maybe like a 1-bit processor, let's just say. And then it gets to be a 32-bit processor. So all you do is you put 32 hoses side by side, and you're shooting a ton more water out, watering your lawn 32 times faster. And then there's 64-bit processors, and you just stack a whole other row of 32 on top of that. All right, big deal. It's the same exact technology, merely multiplied to create an exponential effect of effectiveness. So to be 20 years ahead, well, you know, quantum computers are coming out. IBM announced today that they have created the atomic drive, where it's basically taking the polarity of an atom and making it a bit. And if that's the case, if they've actually pulled that off and they can control the error correction and they don't lose data and all that kind of stuff, you're going to be able to store your entire life on, you know, a wafer that's so teeny tiny you wouldn't be able to see it with the human eye. They'll simply create a bigger case for it simply so you can hold it in your hand. So let's just visit real quick before we dial out. What would be some of the changes inside the solution section that you can expect from such a thing, right? One world currency and only electronic. A microchip either permanently fastened to your body or subdermal, which means under your flesh. Again, right now, every time they do that, they give you cancer. It just is the case because the electromagnetic poles around anything that's electronic damages DNA tissue and you have a problem. You could have one world government, which means someone in Geneva is going to make a decision about, you know, how many kids you can have, what ingredients you can have on your pizza, and that's going to be global law enforced by the corporations that will provide you all of your food and resources. Your jobs will be extremely institutionalized, just like folks in North Korea. You're going to be given a job, and if you don't like it, I don't know what will happen to you after that. Definitely wouldn't be any homelessness, but there probably wouldn't be any happiness either. If you work in Hollywood and think you've escaped the clamp of this system, well, every single thing you do is going to be like Chinese state propaganda to serve the New World Order. Go see The Obsolete Man, another Twilight Zone, if you have any questions about that. Or 1984, if you have any questions. Or Brazil. The world population will reduce by 99% for sure. Either by way of, you know, taking you away in BARC spaceships, or simply policy that will demand that you do not have children, or that two people can only have one kid. The police state will govern how and when and why you can travel from point A to point B. It will control what you can see on the internet, such that you cannot observe what's going on with the rest of the world. Robots will become your superiors in life. Robots will become, as brilliantly portrayed in THX 1138, George Lucas's first film he ever did, which was a student film that went pro. You know, Jesus will be a phone booth that you'll go in and talk to, and he will be just like an Echo with Alexa, giving you forgiveness. And one of the things that'll also happen, if drones, especially the kind that fly in the sky with JDAM missiles attached to them, drones and perhaps robotic armies will commit utter and complete genocide on all other races that are simply behind in evolution. They will walk in the rainforest. They will cross the entire continent of Africa. They may just simply look at the fact that you're human and say that your pigment of your skin is simply too dark, or the wrong shade of gray, and you will die. If you exhibit any individual thought, like I'm doing right now, and like you're doing probably every day of your life, we won't survive. Somehow, we will be identified, and because we can be taken to an area that will never be observed by others because of a police state, we'll be exterminated, right? Somehow. Maybe we're chemically castrated. Maybe we're actually murdered. Who knows? But you can rest assured that the fantasy formula for world domination has been completely and utterly thought through on every single conceivable level. If you thought it was a little peculiar that the Patriot Act was available the day after 9/11, and that it gutted 9 of the 10 Bill of Rights, then take that and multiply it times infinity, right? That's their plan for the world. The Georgia Guidestones, for instance, will essentially be our Bible. But its first commandment is going to happen, which is the utter annihilation of mankind down to 1%. Again, I think that this thing would be out there a little ways, because I do not believe that the countries of the world are going to agree on how to pull this thing off. But who knows, right? You watch all these fictional films on TV. One of the good examples would be HBO's Boardwalk Empire with Steve Buscemi, directed by Martin Scorsese. And you have all these mob bosses. It's fictional, but you know these sort of things have happened many times where you have New York, Chicago, and Atlantic City all warring for the distribution of alcohol during Prohibition. And they all hate each other. And within every city, you have factions that hate each other, mob bosses that control various neighborhoods and that kind of stuff. So first, there's usually a unification within the city. One person's at the top of the pyramid, and everyone else kind of agrees through threats or attrition of hits that this one person's in charge and I'm not in charge. But I'm number 2, I'm number 3, number 4, whatever. Then the cities start to combine their resources and agree to trade between cities. It's sort of this evolutionary thing, right? But you might have two people that hate each other. They're arch enemies. And fundamentally speaking, you know, one's a communist, one's a sort of a democracy, let's just say, a faux feudalism environment like we live here in America. And there's a way to buy them off, you know? And I think that people like Putin actually have some integrity, but maybe he has a weakness. Who knows? Maybe they simply say, we're going to screw up the world so freaking bad that you won't survive if you don't get on board. We're going to make a world army and you're not going to be in it. And guess what happens to you and your people? They're going to demand that you go along with the program because they're going to be utterly feared out of their mind. And you're going to be trying to have, international broadcasts over the internet and over normal RT television trying to tell everyone it's a hoax, and we're just going to simply block your signal. It's never going to get to our people, so no one will ever know your opinion or your evidence that it's fake. But what if world leaders had a price? And they said, well, don't you want to live in Elysium with the rest of us? Because that's, we got a seat. We got a whole wing of our Elysium spaceship or our mountaintop where you're going to have, you know, the Putin gardens, you know, it's going to be, you're going to have your whole place. You know, again, I don't believe the guy would crack, but, you know, who knows? I don't know him. So all the world leaders that are used to serving number one, that are used to these battles, are going to say, God, I would just love to live the last 20 years of my life not fighting some war. And if you're saying that you're going to take care of everything and all I got to do is agree to hand over the reins to my country to join this big giant world army, this world government, but I get to live in free world, where I get to eat like a pig and screw like a king, sure, I'll do it. Now, this entire alien invasion thing, which is called the alien invasion hoax, it too itself might be a hoax, right? Now, it goes a little bit deeper when Reagan gave his speech, because who knows if you can trust Bonnie Holmes. She's talking on behalf of Wernher von Braun, who on, you know, his tombstone has Psalms 19:1, which you have to read the King James Version. He talks about the handiwork of God having created the firmament. That's kind of interesting. A guy that essentially gave more credence to a heliocentric ball earth than probably any other single human being in history. Especially if he did do it, but he went ahead and wrote a passage on his tombstone. His tombstone has no decorations. It's got his name, his birth date, his death date, and Psalms 19:1. So the summation is this. It's important that we pay attention to all these potential things, because it could be a hoax that this alien invasion thing would ever happen. But something else with the same exact effect is also planned. They figure out a better way to do it, right? For instance, they want to microchip every human being on planet Earth. That has been communicated by several of the Rockefellers from the Rockefeller family. Okay. Well, they figured out that we can carry our cell phones with us, and that's just as good. As a matter of fact, a subdermal chip doesn't really give them access to our eyeballs and our ears, but a cell phone has a power supply you never take out, camera on both sides, and the audio can be tapped at any point in time. someone is really smart up there, right? But that's why Brexit was so important for the EU. It puts, you know, one big fracture into this new world order, which is what the European Union is all about. Every single person in every single country needs to protect its national sovereignty simply to protect the world from an NWO objective. Now, keep your eyes open, because I probably won't make a part two to this, right? But keep your eyes open if you think that you have seen new technology. And please put it in the comments if you have more technology that would feed into this, because I would love to add it to my own conversation with others. But if you think that this thing is starting to swell up and become a potential, and I'll post anything on our Facebook page if I see something that I think is in this realm, and I will repeat your post from YouTube into Facebook, on into the feed, you know, anonymously. But let's keep our eyes open to see if this grows any legs, as they say. And let's make sure that we maintain complete control over our minds so that we don't lose ourselves to some hokey thing like an alien invasion, right? I think you feel me. If you made it this far, thanks for listening. If you haven't already, go to mkultraradio.com. From there are all the feeds. If you're coming from video, there's audio for your car. If you're coming through audio, there's video on YouTube in case you just want to stare at something. Don't be afraid to have conversations about this stuff either. Don't. That's the paycheck for freedom, is to be able to be free to have these discussions. I'm not sure any subject matter is too stupid to discuss. You know? If you believe it, you believe it. If you don't, you don't. You are the protector of your consciousness, of what you absorb, right? But yeah, this is one I wanted to cover. Anyhow, if you made it this far, thanks for listening. Take care of yourself and somebody else, and I will see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over now.